World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning, man. Gotta admit to you that man, it was a stressful couple three days. Because I was going on, you know, Michelle and I were gone last weekend, and then we're home, and I have like 3 days, and then we're off on this expedition, which we're going to launch today and do tomorrow. Newsletter time. I got to get my newsletter out. There's a lot going on. And I was just saying, pray just before. Romans chapter 5 says, thank God for all the problems. I'm paraphrasing. Thank God for all the problems and trials that you have, for they develop patience, and patience develop character. Pull that up there, Spencer. That's a worthy place to jump off today, Romans 5. Because how many of us do that? How many of you have ever lived a lie? Any athletes out there? I'm sure there are. Did you ever get better without hard work? Ever? Ever get better without work? Hard work? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also received by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope in the glory of God. But not only that, we glory in tribulations. What? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Spencer, real quickly, what's tribulation? What does Mr. Webster say tribulation is? Huh? Come on now. They don't teach you this in church. Tribulation is what? Severe affliction. Distresses of life. Vexations. I love that word. Vexations. In scripture, it also denotes the troubles and distresses which proceed from persecution. John says, in this world you shall have tribulation. Back to Romans, what's it say? What does Romans say? Thank God for it. Thank God for it, right? Yeah, not only that, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience. Experience, hope. See, hey, folks, listen. It ain't always the devil. It ain't always the devil. Sometimes it's your kids. Maybe they're controlled by the devil. It ain't always your devil. Sometimes it's your neighbors. Sometimes it's your boss. Sometimes it's your own stupid actions. But not only that, we glory in tribulation, also knowing that the work tribulation. Hey, Spencer, this is really important. And get ready to pull this up in the Message Bible, okay? And patience, experience, and experience hope. And hope makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in the hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for us. For very scarcely will a righteous man die, yet peradventure a good man some would even dare to die for. But God died for us while we were yet sinners. Pull it up in the Message Bible. Pull it up. By entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us and sets us right with him, makes us fit for him, we have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. And that's not all. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that he's already thrown open the door to us. We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, out in the open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. But there's more to come. We continue to shout praises even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us. Boy, that's a good word, isn't it? Passionate patience in us. Wow. And how the patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In an alert expectancy such as this, we never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary. We can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. And Christ arrives right on time to make this happen. He didn't and doesn't wait for us to get ready. He presented himself for this sacrifice, death, when we were too weak and rebellious to do anything to get ourselves ready. Wow, that's good. Huh? Cool. So thank God for all your problems. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all the problems and trials that we have. Amen. Amen. It's the 30th day of October. Is that Halloween? That's not All Hallows Eve, is it? I mean, America, there's probably greater participation in Halloween in America than any other Christian holiday except Christmas. Anybody disagree with that? Children, parents, families, we prepare our children for Halloween, and we went into the depth of what Halloween really is. And the spiritual realm is real. It's real, okay? So look, I'm asking you this. What am I looking at here? It's October 3rd. That's that the day. Folks, we covet your prayers. We're stepping into arena, okay? We're stepping into arena. We just ask some of you out there that you would cover us in prayer. Look, you don't have to get down on your sackcloth and ashes. But just every time we pop into your brain, just say a word of prayer for us to cover us and what it is that the Lord would have us to do. And when we're driving out today, we're getting our action done tomorrow, and we'll be back on Saturday. So some of you, maybe some of you could help by fasting. Even if it's just lunch or a meal, whatever. As Randy said, fast social media. Those of you who got your nose in the computer all day, maybe take your nose out of the computer. But we're a SWAT team representing the army of the Lord. So please cover us in that. I got so much to talk about. Pull up Proverbs 30 in the New King James. Because this is what we're supposed to be talking about today. The New King James Version of Proverbs 30, which is what we are reading today as a result of this action at the Liberty Action Network. This is all has to do with covering this and what's going on. If you don't mind, I'll read it. I got a lot of stuff I want to get to today. Oh, my phone went off. The words of Agur. I don't know who Agur is. Would it be a good idea if we studied this kind of stuff a little bit and knew who Agur was and all that? Stephanie says, I'm going to pray and fast today and tomorrow for your mission. God bless you, Stephanie. I love that girl. I love her. This man declared to... do you guys know who Ithiel and Ucal are? Boy, we're so ignorant, aren't we? This is Proverbs 30. Surely I am more stupid than any man and do not have the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom nor have any knowledge of the Holy One. Wow, that's a boom. Who has ascended to the heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who's bound the waters in a garment? Who's established all the ends of the earth? What's his name? What's his son's name? Do you know? Every word of God is pure. He's a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die, Paul says. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny and get fat and sassy and lazy, okay? And say, who is the Lord? Oh, wait a minute. Lest I be full and deny God. And say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Don't malign a servant to his master, lest he curse you and you be found guilty. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes. Maybe that would be us today, huh? Yet it is not washed from its filthiness. There is a generation. Oh, how lofty are their eyes. And their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are like swords, whose fangs are like knives, to devour the poor from the earth and the needy from amongst men. The leech has two daughters, give and give. Boy, you hear that in the church, don't you? There are three things that are never satisfied, four that are never enough. Okay, here they are. The four things that are never satisfied: the grave, the barren womb, the earth is not satisfied with water, and the fire never says enough.
Wow.
Wow. Fire just wants to consume everything. It never's had enough, has it? The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. There are three things which are too wonderful for me. Yet four, which I do not understand. I don't understand how an eagle flies in the air. I don't understand the serpent hiding under a rock. I don't understand the way a ship makes it in the midst of the sea. And I don't understand the way of a man with a virgin. This is the way of an adulterous woman. Okay? An adulterous woman eats and wipes her mouth and says, I haven't done anything wrong. For three things the earth is perturbed. Yeah, for four it cannot bear up. For a servant when he reigns, a fool when he is filled with food, a hateful woman when she is married. Oh, contentious woman. Love you, Michelle. She ain't contentious. And the maidservant who succeeds her mistress. Folks, this is deep stuff. There are four things which are little on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people, not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. Do you ever understand how they know that? Who taught an ant that he's got to store up food for them? Who taught him that? Yet they prepare their food in the summer. The rock badgers are a feeble folk, yet they make their homes in the crags, in the cracks. Locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. And the spider skillfully grasps with its hands, and it is in its king's palaces. Yeah, the spiders are in, spiders are in the White House, aren't they? Yes, they are. There are three things which are majestic in pace. Yes, four which are stately in walk. A lion, which is mighty among beasts. Folks, these are majestic, okay? A lion, which is mighty among beasts and does not turn away from any fight. The lion of the tribe of Judah. A greyhound. A male goat also. And a king whose troops are with him. Say what you want. Say, let's freeze right there a second. Have you noticed how much they're trying to make sure Donald Trump's troops aren't with him? Anybody noticing that? For better or for worse, he's a commander in chief. If you have been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you have devised evil, put your hand on your mouth. In other words, shut the hell up. For as a churning of milk produces butter, and wringing the nose produces blood, so the forcing of wrath produces strife. Boom. Boom. That would preach that, man. That'd preach. Let me get over here. Michelle wants to say something. Come on in, Michelle.
Yeah, I just wanted, good morning, team. I just wanted to say about the Augur and Jacob. Like, uh-huh. I don't know who they are either, but I remember looking them up one time and there was no information on them. But I did find out that the names have meanings. The name, I think the Augur name means like to collect or the collector or the gatherer.
Uh-huh.
And then the Jacob means obedient or, you know, so even if they weren't real people, you've got the gatherer and the obedient. So I think
we used to name people by what they did, right? We had a butcher, we had a plumber. That became the last name, right? I know some plumbers, huh? Butchers, right? Bakers, right? You were identified by what you did. It became their name. That's Dave Butcher, because Dave was a butcher. No, they didn't have a last name lineage the way that we do it today, right? And so you think about it, go back hundreds and hundreds of years. What were the odds of somebody knew the name of their great-great-grandfather or could trace their lineage or where their name actually came from? Right? So what Shakespeare say? What's in a name? A rose by any other name would still smell as sweet. God, this stuff is so deep. Let me ask you something here. As I jump in, okay, I want to do that. My wife, I'm Steve Dexter. I think I already told you that. I always feel a little paranoid. My wife, I love my wife so much. And she's always the same thing over and over. But friends, listen, this is, I think really what I'm going to talk about today and what we talk about is so critical. It is so critical and so crucial that we have to get it. We have to get it. We are in an evolution in Christianity, especially in American Christianity. Because remember this, go back to when the early church began. How many years ago would that be? 2,000 years ago? Even before that, we had some, that Judaism, all that stuff. We have been under the control of a monarch. A monarch. We call him pastor. Stay with me. I'm not talking about Dale Socia. God bless Dale Socia. I'm not talking about Tom Gill. I'm not talking about Clint Harper. I'm talking about the structure of Christianity. And so if you bear with me a little bit, I want to show you something here today, okay? Something that I believe the Holy Spirit has revealed to me. And that is this, we are working today with a system, with an old system that is broken. That's what we're dealing with. And I want to try to show that. Okay, can you okay with me, Spencer? Hang on, folks. Where do I jump off here? Okay, here's where I want you to go. Go to, what does the fivefold ministry come? Where does the fivefold ministry come from? Click on that, Spence. You guys know what the fivefold ministry is? It gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. That's the fivefold ministry. And they've told us over and over and over and over. Now, here's a question to ask. Remember, back those in those days, there weren't any cell phones, weren't any TV, weren't any radio, weren't any means of communication. Most people didn't even have a Bible. They didn't really even have the scriptures. In fact, the book of Acts is nothing more than a historical understanding of early Christianity, the book of Acts, right? So this thing called Christianity kind of blew up out of nothing. And back in the day, they came up with what was called a fivefold ministry, because we find it in Ephesians. Click on that Ephesians right there, Spencer, that link. And he gave the apostles, that's ESV, whatever, doesn't matter. There, go there, yeah. And New King James, and he gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Look at that last one. Pastors and teachers is the same job. So I want to make an illustration to you as we move into this morning. Pastor's a coach. The pastor's a coach. Now, how do I do this, Lord? So the church is designed. I was a football coach, and I didn't try to. How do I say this? People wanted to be on the team, so they wanted to be part of the team. And so I looked out across the team, and we had 60 guys. That's 60 guys. How? Pardon my French. How the hell am I going to coach 60 guys? I can't coach 60 guys. I need some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists. I need a defensive line coach. I need a defensive coordinator. I need a defensive back coach. I need a special teams coach. I need a centers and guards coach. I need a tackles and tight. Why? Because I can't coach all of them. I can't coach all of them. And if our football team's going to be good, each one of those positions has to be coached. And we're in an environment now, and I blame it on satellite TV. Now we have celebrity pastors. We have people to go to these huge, huge mega churches where 5,000 people are there, and the guy that you call the pastor standing in the pulpit, he wouldn't know you if you bumped into him at Kroger's. He doesn't have any idea who you are, yet he is your pastor. Come on. And because we've evolved from the book of Acts, we haven't kept up. So here's what I see going on. Coach Dave here is the head coach. I'm the pastor. But it ain't my job to carry the ball. It ain't my job to score the touchdown. It's not my job to make the tackle. It's not my job to intercept the ball. It's not my job to punt it. I'm not the extra point kicker. I'm the guy who has the vision to organize. This is what we're all going to do. And if I divided our football team, so Coach Norm, I don't know if you're out there. I was going to ask Norm to come in this morning because Norm is a great coach, and he was the greatest assistant coach I ever knew because he had been a head coach. He was a great assistant pastor because he'd been a pastor, and he knew what all needed to be done. And I knew this. I'm the head coach. Stay with me. Some of you hate football. I get it. I was a head coach, but I knew this. I can't get that done, so I need to delegate it to somebody who can. And so I handed it off to Coach Norm. And Coach Norm ran the entire defense. He ran the defense. I couldn't do that. And so Coach Norm had under him Mark Collier, who coached the defensive backs. He had Mark Byard, who coached the inside linebackers. I could go on and on and on. Because why? Not all of us are the same. Not all of us have the same job. And the job of the church, here's what I love about what's going on here. I can't keep up with Randy. I can't keep up with Craig. I can't keep up. I can't keep up with some of the things you guys are doing. Because why? Somewhere along the line, you have been trained, equipped, and motivated to what? Do the work of the ministry. Isn't that what it says in Ephesians? And he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Well, let me ask you something. Where you go to church, what's your job? What's your work? Where you go to job? Does anybody know? Do you have a job? Do you have Coach, I lead the men's ministry. Okay, so they've actually created a job for you to do. What about the guy who's in the men's ministry and doesn't know any idea what he's supposed to do? Well, isn't the job of the men's ministry to train the guy sitting there, doesn't know what to do, to know what to do and go do it? Isn't that the job? In fact, when I was coaching, you guys know this, we're seeing it in the government right now. Anybody know what dead wood is? Anybody know what dead wood is? Can somebody explain to me what dead wood is? Come on, somebody come in here. What's dead wood? Come on, what's dead wood?
Useless Christians.
Useless Christians. Useless people. And churches are creating dead wood. Now look, the wood doesn't want to be dead. The wood's not being taught what to do. Read this again. First, they're no longer apostles. Anyway, fivefold ministry has usually been defined as a leadership ministry because it's apostles, prophets, evangelists. I know some apostles that never leave the freaking church. They ain't going to go out in the street and try to disciple anybody. That ain't their job. They're a self-identified apostle. Oh, they're a self-identified prophet. Folks, these are not positions. These are gifts. Sometimes you will be in a situation where you are the expert. And when you're in a position where you are in the expert, then you are an apostle at that moment. Are you guys tracking with me here? Huh? See, we've taken the body, the function of the body, and we made it a hierarchy. Anybody know what I'm saying? Stand up in the middle of your church and start to ask a question to the pastor. How long will it be before somebody comes and shepherds you out? They say, this is not the place to be. Well, okay. So this has handicapped all of us, right? Here's what excites me about Coach Dave Live. You guys are doing stuff. You know what's really amazing? Nobody comes to me and asks me if they can. Coach Dave, would it be okay if we went and did this. Let me talk to the elder board here, man. Folks, that ain't the way a body operates. See, if I want to pick something up, if I'm the hand and I want to pick something up, I don't have to ask my chest and my heart and my head if it's okay for me to pick it up. Now, I think real quickly, should I pick that up or not? But if we are a body and you want to operate, the brain should give you the liberty to do it. And how many of you would raise your hand you don't have to? But I've been in church my whole life and ain't nobody told me what to do outside the church. Right? Why is that? And folks, look, this is modern America. Satellite TV, cable TV, cell phone, instantaneous communication. And we still have to filter everything through this five-fold ministry. And as I'm trying to tell you again, those are offices in the church, but thank you, Lord. Sometimes you got to be ready to play another position. You say, well, coach, I've never been a quarterback. I know, but if you're with six people who've never played football before, you got to be the quarterback. You have to understand that in every situation you move into, this is the structure. Somebody has to be in charge. But I'm going to tell you something. When I leave the church and I go out into the world, the pastor of my church ain't my boss. Get this? Don't you understand we're all supposed to be building little ministries to equip the saints for the work? Doesn't it say that? Equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. You wouldn't believe the little ministries that have popped up out of Coach Dave's life. Craig never asked my approval. He just went and did it. Randy never asked my approval. He just went and did it. Dave Allison never asked my approval. He just went and did it. Right? Because why? The call was upon his life. They don't need, why do we need the pastor's approval? There's a difference between the pastor's approval and the pastor's blessing. Am I making sense out there? We need a reformation in the church, folks. Listen to me. If the Lord has called you to do something and you know he's called you to do it, don't let some apostle or prophet tell you, or pastor tell you not to do it. Boom. Now you would ask their blessing, please, pastor. The Lord has called me to do this, pastor. Would you cover me in prayer? Would you cover me in prayer? Apostle, would you cover me in prayer? Because today, I'm going to go be a prophet. I'm going to go be a prophet. Folks, a prophet isn't a fortune teller. I see, my Betty, if you continue to do this, Betty, I see much strife at. Well, I suppose people can have a word from the Lord, but to think that the prophet is nothing more than a future teller? Come on! Come on! Do you ever have somebody say, man, that was prophetic. That was from the Lord. Yeah, coming out of the mouth of just a normal, everyday guy, they spoke prophetically. And instead, we've made, folks, this is 2025. This is not, we have instant communication with whoever we want to have with it. It's not six of us huddled in some cave. We've evolved beyond that. And every one of you looking at me right now have the ability to make an impact right where you live, and you don't need somebody's approval to do it. A blessing, maybe. Covering, maybe. But the growth of the church has been stifled. When's the last time some of you out there, Dale, I'm not talking about you, Clint. When's the last time some guy, well, here's a good question. How many of you out there tried to approach your pastor about staking? And he hoisted his leg and wet it all down. How many? Come on. So you need your approval. You need the pastor's approval to get a group of you in church to go staking? Are you kidding me? Something wrong with you? You got to go ask daddy whether you can get some of your friends together. But daddy might come along. No, we're planning this. And oh, we can't do that. The elders might get mad. What? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And the Jesus said to Mary, the first communion, when nobody knew was Jesus was going to die, the blood of all that stuff, he gathered his disciples together and said what? Whatever she says unto you, she said to the disciples, whatever he says unto you, do it. Whatever he says unto you, do it. He didn't say, whatever he says unto you, go get your pastor's approval and the elder's covering and then go do it. Whatever he says unto you, do it. Because when you're walking in the prophetic unction, the people that you want approval from, they didn't get the vision. They don't get it. They ain't gonna approve it. I'm not gonna go get some guy who's never played a football game in his life to coach my football team. I'm not gonna do it. Now, if you wanna go to a church, if you're gonna go coach a football team and you want the band director to coach the football team, you're gonna get your ass beat. Because the band director, he has a very good role in it, but it ain't out there on that football field. And he can't teach anybody to block. Can I tell you something? Some of you guys are going to church where there are band directors, not coaches. Oh, there's a difference. I'm getting this out, and I'm going to feel better here in a minute. Huh? My wife said, honey, same thing over and over and over and over. Until we understand that the hierarchical structure of the church has handicapped the average Christian man and woman from doing the work of the ministry, until we understand that that system is broken, we're not going to be able to advance it. Glenn, come on in.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that, Coach. That's exactly what's happened in the church. A lot of churches will have these guest speakers, quote, prophets, unquote. And so the people sit there and they listen to these. And what it does is it just, they watch these people and they think, wow, this is really something. And then it puts them in a mentality of, I can't do what he does.
That's right.
So they don't do anything. Okay. So by emphasizing these prophets and these ministers that come in and teach people, it just puts people back on their heels.
It diminishes your own Christianity, doesn't it?
It does.
I'm not a prophet. I'm not an apostle. Folks, yes, you are. And so I didn't mean to step on you, Glenn. Yes, you are. Depending on the situation, you may be the prophet in the group. You might be. You might hear from the Lord. When's the last time you went to church and the pastor stood up and said to the congregation, is there anybody that has a word from the Lord? Well, they're not going to let you do that because they want to control. You might say something they don't want to hear. You might become the prophet. It says, we need to do this, Pastor. And he doesn't want you to do that because he hasn't talked to you yet and you haven't gotten his approval to bring that up. I wonder how many of you watching here right now can't even get your the pastor of your church to talk about staking and taking back territory. Something as simple as that, they won't even do. Craig, come on in.
I'll put in the chat, we have a unionized mentality.
Yes, sir.
That a union, you get a very specific job. Like if you worked on the auto plant like Dave, you put this widget in that hole. And then, if something broke down the line, it's like, well, that's not my business, right? Not my job, right? And that we've done that in the church, but we've also done it in our community, We've done it as, citizens of our government, our local, state, federal. Well, we pay other people for that problem, Hey, a flood comes in, my house isn't destroyed. Well, that's FEMA's responsibility. So this is what, but we've done that to the church too. We have this mindset, and that's never been a mindset of the Good Samaritan. That's loving your neighbor, right?
As yourself. Whatever he says, Jesus said to the disciples, his mother said to the disciples, whatever he says unto you, do it. Folks, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you? Holy Spirit nudge you and tell you to do something, you don't do it? Why don't you do it? Because we're in this hierarchical situation where you're just a little measly old Christian. You're not an apostle. You're not a prophet. You're certainly not the pastor. What could I possibly know? Whatever he says unto you, do. Do. Ah, the doers that are in here, what's going on? I need a month.
Well, Coach, can I just say one more thing here real quick?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not only doing, but let's go back and done. All right. So, Coach, 5 years ago, you were over there in Delaware, and Randy was with you and a bunch of other people, and I met you the next day on October 31st. This is 2020. Okay. That's 5 years ago, so you're talking about the fivefold ministry. So I put this in the chat earlier. What's the meaning of five? Torah, it's grace, ministry, service, gospel, fruitfulness. I think there's been some fruitfulness to going to Joe Biden's house. Took a few years. Going forth, fast movement, anointed, prayers and protection. The holy anointing oil had five ingredients, four spices mixed with olive oil. The holy incense also had five ingredients, four spices mixed with salt.
Wow.
Through the tradition, there says there were 11 ingredients. So we are empowered by the word and the spirit. All is given by God's mercy and grace. There are five books of the Torah, the fivefold ministry, and David's five smooth stones, fruit from the trees to eat the fifth year.
Wow.
So there's a lot of fives there, Coach, and I'm just saying that you're in a five-year repeating cycle here.
Folks, I don't know if you know this or not. Some of you don't get this. Craig Mickle walks in an unbelievable prophetic anointing. I don't know if you guys understand that or not. He's able to connect dots that most of us don't even see. And it frustrates some of you because you can't see it. You don't get it. And most time, Craig, when you walk in a prophetic unction, there's a tendency for people to think you're crazy.
Yeah, sometimes it's lonely. Sometimes it's lonely, but that's okay. Yeah. You know,
because you're going against the grain, right? You're going against the grain.
But I just want to say, you know, you were at Biden's house, Obama's house, and Bill Barr's house over this period of time that you're going to another location. And so I think God's grace is going to be upon you and his favor is going to be upon those.
Amen. Amen. Oh, my goodness, huh? Oh my, hey friends, I want you to know this. I don't care what people out there are saying. I love the local church, but the local church is broken. I'm just sorry, it's broken. And I'm trying to give it some first aid. And I'm trying to get you guys to help rebuild the foundations. The Bible, Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The foundations are destroyed, folks. Satellite TV, 5,000 people in the church, a guy pastoring 5,000 people, a guy pastoring 500 people, can a guy pastor 100 people? That's what I just told you. I was a football coach, had 70 guys on the team and six assistant coaches because I couldn't do it all. We're putting a burden upon a pastor, a job a man cannot do. Coach, I remember what John Cooper was, football coach at Ohio State. When they hired him, they asked him about coaching, yada, yada. He says, listen, I want all of you to understand one thing. I don't coach the players. I coach the coaches. Coach Dave coaches the coaches. You're the coaches. Wherever you are, wherever you go, you're the coach. You're the position coach. You're the defensive coordinator. You're the offensive coordinator. You're going places I can't go. You go places your pastor can't go. At some time, you have to be the evangelist. Sometimes the prophet. Sometimes the pastor. Sometimes you have to operate depending on who you are around, your group. Somebody has to fill those positions. And can I tell you this? Hey, Norm, I don't know if you're out there. When I was a football coach, if Coach Norm missed practice, head coach could do his job. I could do every one of those jobs. Of all of my assistant coaches, I could do every one of those jobs. In today's modern American Christianity, they try to lock you into one job, and your job is to come here every Sunday, listen to the sermon, and pay the tithe. Vinny, that'd be boom! Nothing required at all of you. Come here every day, listen to me preach, pay your tithe. See you next week. James Thomas, come on in.
Yeah, good morning, brothers. This is a perfect example of Western Christianity. Yes. Our Constitution is a really good document, and you know, I think it has kingdom principles. But that being said, we've kind of lost what it is to be kingdom minded. Yes. The church today focuses simply on salvation, and the kingdom of God is so much more.
Not only that, James, salvation and personal success. That's what the church focuses on.
Yeah, I know you guys kind of hit on process. The body of Christ is supposed to function. There is people gifted in this body that speak who God has gifted them in business to
prosper. And nobody ever puts them in the game, James. Nobody ever puts them in
right,
the game.
Right, absolutely. And then there's people who are called to be holiness, the holiness, and they come in and be a part of the gospel of the kingdom. It's a whole big body. This kingdom is a body.
Amen.
And if we all don't function together, the body is like a whore. It's all we do is we get people saved. I mean, you go to any, except some Pentecostal churches, kingdom churches, it's all it is you get saved, just like you just said. You get saved. Ephesians 5, which you apostles, pastors, you know, all that, which you just read. The devil elevated the very last one to the top, pastors. And that's right. We worship, you know, I get it. We worship pastors, and it's just a part of. The kingdom of God is this.
Okay, amen.
They overcame the blood by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto death. Amen.
Amen. All right, so Spencer, pull up for me. Sorry here, folks. Bear with me a second. The role of a pastor. Pull that up for me. I don't know if you guys can see it on the screen. Are pastors biblical? Role of a pastor in scripture. The term poem appears once in reference to church. I'm going to look over here because I can see it better over here, okay? Bear with me. Term shepherd appears once in reference to the church in Ephesians 4 and is descriptive, not positional. Do you hear that again? It's a description of the job. It's not a position. What? Yeah. Peter, shepherding is a function. Not a job. It's not a hierarchy. Headship belongs to Christ. Christ is the head of the church, not the pastor. Christ is called the head of the church in Ephesians. Human headship within the church contradicts this. Jesus forbade rank titles. This is going to make some of you pick up your toes. Go to the next one. You are not called rabbi, for you have one teacher, Jesus said. You are all brothers. The pattern is mutual submission, not institutional hierarchy. When you walk into that church, boys and girls, you are all on level playing field, including the pastor. The early church model, 1 Corinthians, show gatherings where every believer contributed. Leadership was shared. Decisions were communal. And no record exists of salaried pastors. Paul, though he could have received support, chose to work with his own hands to avoid burdening the church. Paul's teaching on support. While Timothy permits support for elders who labor in teaching, it doesn't mandate a salary. The gospel was never intended to be a career. Vinny must not be in here. That'd be a boom. Number 5, there's a priesthood of all believers. First Peter and Revelation teach that all Christians are priests, serving God directly. This eliminates any biblical basis for a clergy-laity division. The Spirit distributes gifts to each one for the building up of the body. Leadership functions exist, but they serve, not rule the church. Hang on. Does anybody know, has the Heisman Trophy in football ever gone to an offensive lineman? Has it ever gone to a defensive lineman? Never.
Nope.
Never.
Nope.
Why? Why? Because it honors the ball carrier. Heisman Trophy always goes to somebody who does something with the ball. And so we have a tendency to worship the guy carrying the ball. So here's your summary logic. Christ alone is the head, not your pastor. Sorry. All believers are ministers and should have ministries. Early church leaders were plural, unpaid, and servant-minded. Paid pastoral hierarchies arose later through institutionalization, not apostolic command. Hey, Craig, are you an ordained minister? Craig Nichol, are you an ordained minister?
Well, I guess you ordained me. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
You didn't go to seminary or anything like that and get all those, take all those classes and come out and make sure that you then knew how to be a good Baptist. So you didn't do that. You were called. And no. I acknowledge that calling upon you. And is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was kind of forced to because somebody asked
amazing
me.
How that works.
I was looking to be one.
The office of a pastor is chief executive and paid professionals. It's extra biblical. Folks, pastors should not get rich. The fact that Joel Osteen is a millionaire is an abomination. How do you get to being a millionaire? Sold books. If Joel Osteen is being paid by the church, then his books ought to all go to the church. The office of pastor is chief executive and paid professional is extra biblical. Biblical leadership is shared. Biblical leadership is shared, spirit-led, and non-commercial. Payment for ministry distorts service into a profession, and replaces Christ's headship with human control. You know what really both grieves me and excites me? Some of you are moving into minister, and some of you are trapped in a box called a church. When we're all called to be servants, whatever he says unto you, do. I'll shut up for a minute. Come on, Craig.
Well, you know,
Craig, hang on, Craig. Say, Coach, I don't know what to do. You don't know what to do? Let me ask you a question. Have you been in church most of your life? You don't know what to do? What's that tell you? Go ahead, Craig.
Well, I mean, you can score the highest on a plumbing test, but be the worst plumber in the street. I'm not sure, you know, that's the qualification. It's a calling, really. You know, it's a calling to serve the Lord. And those who take that calling seriously are the ones that, you know, the Holy Spirit's really going to, you know, work through and show up. So I think that's probably the most biggest part about that. But we do. We look at, you know, what college did you go to? What did you do? You know, and, mm-hmm. you know, a good person like yourself probably and others is you look at a young player and you look at passion, you look at their eyes, you know, you're like, yeah, I could work with this guy. You know, this guy's going to be something in 4 years and they develop. That's what you're looking for. Just like David had a heart, you know, he had a heart for the Lord like nobody else, you know, and the fact that your name is David, just it kind of ties in with the biblical narrative. But one of the things too, I think that what has happened is the pastors have lost their relationship with the people. In other words, they isolate themselves, or they don't get to know them or really talk to them, and they get too big or whatever. And you go into some churches and they're like, they won't know if you're there or not. You know, it's like you're just a number. And people feel, and it's a relationship.
So let me jump in here real quickly, Craig. I appreciate it. Randy, I see you're out there, Randy. So I want to call on you a second. Randy has become, I don't know what to call Randy. Randy has become an animal for the Lord. Randy, did you get some training? What the heck made you come out of nowhere to be this animal, good animal, for the Lord? You eat and breathe and drink it. What happened, Randy?
I think it's just years of training, Coach, whether it was formal or informal, whether it was paid or free.
You went to church all the time, didn't you? You went to church.
Yeah, I was a good church man. You know, believer, I'm going on my way to heaven, you know, just like all of us that believe in Christ. But I don't know, Coach, at some point it became more about pleasing God than pleasing me, I think. Wow. And then it's like John F. Kennedy said, well, it's not what can the country do for you, but what can you do for the country? Well, it's the same way with God, Coach. Really, if you really sell out to him and his will, it's about what can I do for your kingdom and not what can you do for me. And the,
so
and the
Randy,
church
modern
is backwards.
American,
backwards. It's the
modern
other way around.
American evangelifishism is what can God do for me, isn't it? Really?
Yes, it is. That's what it's become, Coach. So.
Right. Rather than what can I do? See, it's the idea of a team.
You know who trained me, Coach? You know who trained me? I'd tell you who trained me. Dale Sosha trained me when I was with him and listening to him and watching his example. You've trained me. You know, there's been a few pastors that actually I've got some training from. And, you know, I don't throw them under the bus at all. We're not doing that. But Coach, at some point, if you want to keep being trained and keep growing, you have to move on, because people can only take you to the point where that they have what they have.
Amen.
And you just got to keep moving on. And it's not disrespectful to say, you know, but Coach, look here, coming in here, it's not your typical church setting. So you have a voice, people should have an ear to hear, and they can be, this is a lot better model of what the church should look like, even though it's online, you know, Coach, but it's a better model. It produces fruit. See, so
Randy, let me ask you something, Randy. This event that we're getting to do this here in the next couple of days, it originated with Randy. Randy, did you call and ask if you were allowed to do it? Coach Dave, am I allowed to do this, Coach? Did you have to call me and get my approval to do that, Randy?
No, in fact, Kurt, you've encouraged me a lot to keep moving out, keep doing, and not at all. So Coach, I encourage you, I encourage everyone here as much as I do anyone, but at the same time, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you have to be obedient. Lay it on you, Coach. I can't put it on you and Craig and Dale and Betty or whoever else. I have to do what he's called me to do, Coach, put my feet on the ground, put my body into the game, put my soul into his will. And that's what we have to do, Coach. And when you learn to do that, there's no pressure. It might be hard, but the pressure, the anxiety, the frustration isn't on you. It's just, I don't know how to describe it, Coach, but
hey,
I just want to please God, you know.
I'm running out of time here. Coach Norm, can you unmute, Coach? I don't know if you can unmute. Because you want to talk about some wisdom from a guy who has been a head coach and learned to be an assistant coach and constantly in his coaching career did and served. I don't know. I don't know if you can get on there or not. Because see, people who haven't been part of a coaching staff, they don't get it. They don't understand how this whole thing works. Right. So at the end of the day, when I call a play on the football field, I expect all 11 guys to run it. They've all been trained in what it is they're supposed to do. And by the way, can the quarterback come up to me and suggest a play? Yeah. But I don't have to run the play. I'm going to do a show with Coach Norm just to get him in here alone. Dave Allison, come on in.
Yeah, good morning, Coach. Thanks again for the encouragement. I wanted to say, as you're talking and speaking, I'm thinking about all the people that I've met. There's people that are in the queue. Mike Blake's not in here this morning, so I can brag on him, and he won't get a big head. But Mike has a boldness. And if you met Mike, he's so humble. He's so reserved, right? But Mike, there's a boldness in Mike that's beyond the pale. He's got this boldness, right? There's other people in here, and so many people. Like you say, Betty Perkins, there's few initiatives that Pass the Salt has that she's not in 100%, right, Coach? She's right there, whatever she needs, whatever she wants to support it. But what I'm thinking about, Coach, is for a long time I had training wheels on, like when you learn to ride a bike.
Yep.
And I finally decided I'm going to go ahead and take the training wheels off and go on my own.
Dude.
And so that's – if you still got to have your training wheels on, I want to encourage you to take the boldness, take the training wheels off, and go down your own, see what happens. It's a very freeing experience.
Dave, it's also like this. It's like the merry-go-round. You're on the horse, but you're tethered to the controller, right? Folks, you have to – certainly we need accountability, but you got to break away from the controller. If the Lord tells you to do something, go do it. And the job of the pastor should be to encourage you and help train you to go do what God's called you to do. And most people go to church, they sit there for an hour, and they go home, and ain't nobody asked them or told them what they're supposed to do. Jeff Klein, quickly, Jeff, we're running out of time here.
Coach, you're talking about Coach Norm. About 2 months ago or so, he popped in my car lot. And guess what he was doing? He brought a young black kid, about 17 years old, off his football team to my car lot, helping that young boy just get further in life. And I mean, he didn't just come and talk about cars, but he talked about Christ and leadership and what that young boy has in his life. And you can see the look on that boy's face. He was looking at Coach Norm like it was his dad. You know what I mean? But just the leadership of him,
he is his dad. In that situation, he is his father. Huh? Yep. He is his father. Amen. Joe Allen, go ahead, Joe.
It's simple. All you got to do is stand. Enough said.
Well, true. Sometimes you got to move. Sometimes you got to move. It's a war. We're in a war. Run out of time here. Folks, look. We really, really covet your prayers. And I can't wait until we get back so we can let you know exactly what it is that we've done, where we're going. And if you just remember maybe to fast for us a little bit, cover us, pray for us, because we are actually, we're stepping on the battlefield. We're engaging in a war. And we need your cover. Anybody for the good of the group here? Anybody? You say, well, say, Coach, I'd like to pray. Well, how about praying for us? That'd be a good way. Huh? How about being the cheerleaders and praying for us and cover us in prayer? Go ahead, Craig. Go ahead.
The thing I was just trying to one thing say, and I think what makes us different here is relationship. Okay, and we're talking about. Pastors have lost relationship. I think one of the reasons why, you know, you have people in here as long as they have been in here is that you have a relationship with us, right? Yes. And when in a relationship, you know, you'll go and do things for others that you normally wouldn't go do for someone else. And so that's what I think is really important.
And Craig, you can say what you want. I don't tell you what to do here. You have to get my approval to go do it. That's, folks, that's what the church is supposed to be. You go in there and the Holy Spirit speaks to you, tells you to do something. You don't need the approval of that guy in the pulpit. Come on. There's one mediator between God. That's the Holy Spirit. And whatever he says unto you, do it. That doesn't mean you don't go and ask for prayer, for covering, for advice. If you go to your pastor and say, Pastor, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? And you get advice from him, that's a good idea. But you better understand this. The vision came to you. It didn't come to him. If the Lord told you to do it, damn the torpedoes, go do it. Pray for us. See you tomorrow.